All righty. I'd like to call the meeting to order. It's 4 p.m. Can all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'd like to have a roll call. Roger, if you could begin.
Roger Childers, present.
Larry Bagshaw, present.
Thomas Reske, present.
Sharon.
Ray Heddings, present.
Sharon Hillman, present.
George Gorkowski, present.
Okay. I declare we have a quorum. So I would like to call for a motion to approve the minutes that you have in your packet here from the meeting of August 25th, regular meeting.
I so move.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Opposed? Minutes are approved. Okay, at this time, I'd like to move to go to the reports to the board, section 5. So the first item up is the WIPA DUSI Program Manager Report, Mr. Paul Hendricks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's an honor to be here today and to serve your district. We've been active during the last time period. Whispering Pines project, which would be 2,245 feet of new pipeline, now estimated at $365,000 and change. Scheduled for bidding as soon as we get USDA approval. Cool Pines A, which is the completion of the pipeline up in that area, is 4167 lineal feet of 6-inch pipe. It's estimated at $1.1 million and change. Submitted to USDA for their review and approval. All of these projects are USDA funded. Our interim funding will go through the Water Infrastructure Finance Authority, but then on to USDA for final settlement on that. And so they review our documents before they go out to bid. Woodland Heights, we have a new estimate for that. And these numbers have been increasing based upon market conditions from the preliminary engineering report numbers, which are now, what, 2.5 years old, Sharon, probably? And that's 15,000 lineal feet, and it's estimated about $3 million. We think we'll be able to bid all of these projects, including White Oaks, which is 3,800 feet. We think that these first three projects will be bidding them this fall, and this fall could turn into early winter. Sometimes it's not to the advantage of the district to have a bid on the street for contractors between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so we're fast approaching that. Believe it or not, I saw some things in the store this week that brings me right into that holiday season already. So there we are. But the team that meets on a weekly basis and gives us oversight is really leaning hard on the engineers to get those done. And then we're really at the point now where Sharon is spending a lot of time in communication with USDA. Hopefully they will sign off on those documents, and then we can go on the street. And that's the time when we'll really know what the projects are going to cost, is when contractors come in with those. We've had on the program to do replacement of all the water lines in portals 1, 2, and 3. Our engineers' estimates have come in substantially higher than we had in the planned funding. And so we're now looking at delaying portals 3 construction, which is $5 million. And portals 1 is 4.7, portals 2 is 1.4. So we're looking at delaying portals 3 project, and of course that'll be dependent upon how the bids come in, because we're only at about 30% design on that project. But once we get these other projects out to bid and have hard contract bids, we'll have a better idea of how our funding, which is in place, how far that it will go, and then we'll prioritize the water line replacements based upon leaks and failures and needs for pressure improvements. As you know, the GIS system and modeling has been supported through our engineering team at Sunrise, and they're doing some updating with our new operations manager, Mr. Baldwin, to be sure that we have the skills in-house to be able to utilize that that system. It's a very good system that allows us to have an electronic version of our system, and as we make modifications and improvements in the system, that is updated. On the deep well, we're in the process right now of looking for a site which is large enough for the drilling and development of that well. Our initial site, both of the contractors that were qualified for it indicated that there wasn't enough room there, that one of them wasn't actually even going to submit a bid. The other one was really reluctant, and so we decided to hold off on moving forward with that bid until we could work out that site or find a better site, and we think that we'll be able to find a better site. If you go forward on the projects, we're looking at all of the wells that we have right now. When we meet in our weekly meeting, we not only talk about the USDA projects, now that we've got the WIFA loan and those projects closed out, but we work with the district staff in helping prioritize and evaluate upgrades and improvements to your existing facilities. Things like evaluating current wells that are under a water share agreement and having discussions about the potential of the district acquiring those wells rather than simply leaving those wells under a year-to-year or a several-year contract with the current owner. Because the district's going to continue on for a long time, and as these properties change, it could be important to actually own these wells instead of using them under a lease, a water share agreement. What we're finding, though, is that over the decades, when this district was private little water companies, individual little developments, there were a lot of encroachments, not a lot, but there were encroachments on wells with the septic system. And the regulations require a certain separation between the septic and leach field and a public water production well. And we're going through each of the systems to look at those and see that they are in compliance and be sure that we're safe and reliable with those wells. Good news in that we've started the renovation on the K2 tank. Project team was up there looking at it today. They've installed all of the OSHA upgrades to the tank so that it is in compliance with OSHA, and some of the piping, be sure it's in compliance with the current code. And should be by the mid to latter part of October, we should have that tank rehabbed and recoated so that it'll last a very long time. If you take good care of those tanks, the only thing that should ever have rusting and failure would be the floor, because you can't paint underneath the floor. And so sometimes you get rust from up there. We do put cathodic protection in a lot of those tanks so that the cathodic protection device will really take away the electrolysis currents that enhance corrosion on steel like that. And so we'll continue to look at those kinds of things. We did get some time ago a copy of the contract between Town of Payson and the C.C. Cragen Reservoir. And the district has rights to the remaining water that's from that location, but it's very, very expensive and complex to ever deliver that water here. But we are looking at that. The committee of the board will be looking at the details in that and making an evaluation of when or if that project might fit into a part of the overall water resource plan. We also have communication, and the board authorized a satellite imaging, I'll call it radar, for leaks. They'll have the second flyover of the satellite. Flies over all the time, but they're actually recording the area in the district, and their equipment is tuned and calibrated to be able to detect water that would leak from our water system down in the soil and give us an overview. That overview then will be followed with what they call boots on the ground, where they bring expert staff to work with our staff to go out to these locations that are possible leak points and do on-site leak detection using acoustical and other means. Because as you know, the district, part of the challenge they have in the moratorium is that although we pump water out of the ground, we lose more water than we should be losing, and we need to tighten up the system. And so even though we're doing major replacements of substandard pipe that we know is leaking, we think that there will always be some levels of leaks that aren't scheduled to be replaced, and we need to find those and then deal with those on an individual basis. We're here to serve you and your district. And if you have any questions, be glad to entertain those.
Just for clarification, I know you mentioned a lot of numbers, and I know I glanced at one of your questions.
He's answering a lot of them.
He is. And all these monies that are noted here, they're not grants. Those are loans that the district has taken out. So we're upwards to $25 billion in loans for water pipe replacement.
Replacement, that's what it sounds like most of it's going to. So the goal is to replace all the deficient piping that was originally put in.
So far, yeah, for that, yes. I mean, there's a lot of others.
Okay. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, just for explanation, there is more deficient piping than we have money to pay for, even with this loan and the previous $8 million WIFA loan. There is some forgivable principal aspect. The district is, I work for a lot of different districts and cities, and the district has done a very good job of finding grants and forgivable principal elements, and also securing very, very low interest on the loans that they, for the funds that they have. But some people have estimated very high numbers for replacing all of the deficient pipe, but this will take us a long ways in some of the worst areas.
It looks like you're getting your reading from the flyover, right? Of those spots that you're losing the most. We are losing the most water.
Yes.
That sounds good. Yeah.
It's amazing technology, and they did some webinars, and we checked with references from other places where they've done this. Yes, our topography is different. Yes, our soil is different, and all that sort of thing. But They really stand behind what they've done, and the other references are cities and water entities. So it's not, you know, a minor kind of a reference. It's a legitimate reference that says they really found stuff that we couldn't find.
Is it okay if I ask a couple other questions? Because Paul seems to be where most of my questions
reside. Well, I was going to direct your questions that I glanced at to Paul.
Or do you want me to wait till the end?
Well, no, you talked about the Blue Ridge or C.C. Cragen.
Yeah, C.C. Cragen, Blue Ridge, yeah. I mean, we have the storage of the water, and we got our aquifer water that we utilize.
Yeah, we call it.
Another source would be C.C. Cragen.
Yes.
That Payson is, they planned for a while ago.
Yes.
And accessing that.
Correct.
Do you have an idea what that, I mean, it's expensive, yes. Do you have a dollar figure on it? It used to be
$50 million to bring it here.
Mm-hmm.
With the escalation in prices now,
yeah.
We haven't ran new numbers on the thing. The document is a public document about the agreement that Payson went into. And they have 3,000 acre feet of the 3,500 acre feet that is available for northern Gila County. There's water that's available for the environment and all that information. But there's still a little over 300 acre feet of water from that 3,500 that any community or any district like this in northern Gila County is eligible for that. However, you have capital costs and you have operating costs and ongoing regulatory and legal costs associated with it. And so the way that's set up for Payson, and I assume it'd be similar to us, is if we got a certain percentage of that water, we would pay a certain percentage of the entire project cost. Plus, you have to have a pipe getting it here, and then you have to have a water treatment plant to treat it. The groundwater we have, we only have to add a little bit of chlorine to be sure that there's not bacteria that gets in it. But that water would require a water treatment plant. And Town of Payson is very open to tours from people. If you're interested in what this community might face if they decided to put in a water treatment plant, you could contact the town and give you a nice tour.
The only way would be federal funding and the infrastructure bill. That's the whole purpose of it.
Yeah.
Did you see our letter?
There's no other way we could do it.
Did you see our letter?
There isn't.
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
And that's really what
I did see the letter. Yeah.
That's what we're asking for.
Yeah. There's no other way.
Back to March when we had the large meeting up at the LDS church. We were reaching out Mark Kelly's office, his assistant, has worked with us. Yeah, the money is available, even with some of this infrastructure stuff. Is not forgivable money, it's a matching. So if you borrow $1 million, we've got to put up $1 million. We're maxed up on all the loans that we've acquired.
We need grant money. So we encourage you to write a letter to your senators.
Well, I did, the state, I called all the state as you had requested a few months ago, and they buried the bill, as you know. They took the bill off and buried it somewhere else. They didn't tell me where it was. I don't know. We got to look well, they got to vote to it or not. I don't know. But I'm sorry. Thank you for the time.
Any other questions?
Is there an inflation clause in the USDA contract?
Our agreement with them does not have that. And we tried to have some kind of an escalation clause in our contracts with the general contractors. So we went out. And we tried to have something in there that said, and there will be a certain owner's contingency or something for inflation. And USDA said that that would not work with their requirements. And so it is a hard bid on the day. If the project's 180 days, for example, and you bid it on October 1st, you're going to put a price in that you as a contractor will have to decide what's going to happen between now and the end of my project, and I know as a contractor, I'm going to have to put that risk in my bid. What we tried to do is have an allowance under which if a part for a valve or something went up, that they could come in with that piece of paper and say, we need $10 more for this valve, and we could look at their justification and say, well, okay, that isn't the way USDA wants to do it. And so the contractor will make a risk decision on his bid on October 1st to get all the equipment and all the labor and all the fuel and everything between now and 180 days from October 1st. And that's the way they do it. Welcome to the federal government. Yeah. Any other questions?
I just wanted to comment. Recent thoughts on getting the CC Craig and work here are estimated about $75 million.
I mean, Payson was kind enough when they ran their line to put an interconnect up on the mountain in anticipation that at some point in time we might be interested in tapping it. But just the additional cost just for the water treatment,
Estimating
$40 to $50 million just for that facility.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's astronomical. Do we know the, and I'm going to just throw that, this out there, our underground water, what we're tapping, we drill for, do we have an estimate of a time frame? How long will that water last under current conditions?
Well,
do we have any idea?
I try and pray at least one time a day. And so I have a pretty good idea that God has a plan that will balance.
So we're going to get more snow this winter?
You know, I asked my grandparents when I was a kid, I said, what did you worry about when you were a kid? I said, well, my parents sat around and in the evening and they would worry about, do they have enough woodlot to cut down a tree to heat their house? He said, I remember talking about that forever. Well, we talk about, are we going to run out of water? Are we going to run out of oil? You know, and so that's why I pray every day, is because I believe that there's a balance. So what will happen is improved efficiencies will occur, improved technologies. We're working on projects. I used to manage the plants for Phoenix, and forgive me for a minute, but we have projects right now which are reusing all of the effluent for industrial purposes, but the technology we've proven is there for closing the loop on that and desalting it and take the virus out and be able to recycle and drink that water. And so we'll do technologies like that. We're smart people and God will bless us with that kind of thing, and away we go.
First thing we can do is cut off California and force them to do desalinization. They got a whole pond out there in front of them. They've been doing it in the Middle East for how many years?
Yes, sir.
Forever.
Yeah. Any other questions?
And that's the reason we're also looking to go deeper, to get into some of the deeper aquifers.
So. Yeah, there's a lot of recharge that occurs. Most of the wells the district have are in the upper area, upper alluvial unit, upper water area, and that is restored and recharged, the snow, the runoff, things like that. But it's not enough for a growing community like this, and we have to be down into the more historic or prehistoric or forever water. I guess Larry knows about that stuff, but they call that down at the Red Wall. And so that water supply, we anticipate meeting the next group of people. Any other questions?
No.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Paul. Okay, Mr. Baldwin, field manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Whoever's online, could you mute your mic? We're getting a lot of background noise from one of the callers. Thank you.
This month, so far, we've had 6 leaks that we've repaired, estimated 103,000 gallons lost, and spending 112 man hours in the process. We did pull 2 wells, 2 that we're looking to get rehabilitated, and assuming they are salvageable and economical, those videoed, we'll get an inspection on them before we proceed with any rehab services. Let's see, K2 tank, Mr. Hendricks covered a little bit on that. This month we bypassed the tank and the booster site to test it out, make sure everything worked and everybody still had pressure and water without the tank and the booster site. Test succeeded, we drained the tank. They have commenced with some of the safety upgrades and they will be starting the surface coating activities next week. Our maintenance connection software for our preventive maintenance schedules is up and running. Just have a few bugs to work out, getting the crew set up with membership with it. System has been winterized, ready for the incoming cold season. Tested heaters, heat tape, pipes are wrapped up. Several improvements have been made at the maintenance yard. We closed our carport to protect the crew from weather while working. Built a concrete enclosure to contain our backfill material and purchased tools to begin our own in-house oil changes and other small maintenance tasks on the vehicles. In conclusion, we continue to tackle leaks quickly and effectively, and we're striving to make a more efficient workflow. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions for him? Good work, by the way. Jim came on board August 1st. Very challenging here. A lot of work, a lot of activities, and we are very pleased. I know personally, I'm very pleased with your efforts and your performance. So thank you.
Thank
Jim.
You. Mm-hmm.
Finance manager's report, Sharon.
Okay. With the closing of the first USDA loan, we can now submit costs for program management, interfinancing, legal fees directly to USDA for reimbursement. Funds were received for the first request on June 30th in the amount of $83,828.77. These funds remain in our public funds interest earning checking account, which was required to be set up by USDA. The water design loan.
Can we ask them again to mute the.
Excuse me. Callers, if you could all go on mute, we're continuing to get a lot of background noise from one of the callers. Would appreciate it. All right.
That one wrapped up.
Well, that's one way to mute it, I guess.
Yeah, they had three of them open, so yeah.
You still have two open.
The disbursement on the design loan number 15 for the August engineering fees has been submitted. The funds have been received and checks will be prepared this week. The new WIFA loan, we expect to start construction in the fall on the USDA products, including the drilling of the well in Strawberry. Fingers crossed. The audit is in process and expected to be completed in October. There's one outstanding item we are waiting for to have all the necessary information to complete the audit. There's a new regulation that the government put out which affects any companies that have leases. It's a new regulation and requires a different treatment of leases for government entities that went into effect July 1st. It requires leases to be set up as an asset and amortized over the term of the lease instead of expensing it directly at operations. Polaris is assisting us with setting up the building and land leases and our system for proper reporting and compliance with this change. The district has had an account for $250,000 since the Compass Bank loan originated. Now that the PNC loan has been paid off and these funds are now the district's reserve account, I request that the account be changed to an interest-bearing checking account, and it will now be, has been completed. We're currently receiving interest on the public funds, WIFA reserve, money market accounts, and the rate is 1%. And for the last 2 months, we received $898.64 in interest. And that will be going up.
Any questions for Sharon? Thank you, Sharon. And again, you're appreciated.
Thank you.
Treasurer's report. George.
All right. I don't have a lot to report out this month. I did do a cursory look at the Davis statements, and we're still financially stable, which is a good thing. My normal charts, I'll present next meeting with the update, but I'm just coming back from vacation. I haven't had a lot of time to get to it, so I will redo them and have them ready for next month's meeting. But I'll take any questions anybody has.
Any questions? No? All right. Well, thank you, George, and you're appreciated also. Secretary's report?
None.
Larry. Thank you, Larry, and all your work. Yours and Becky's performing the secretary's duties. Mr. Steve, district attorney's report.
I am available. Can everybody hear me okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can.
great.
Okay.
As my historic practice so far to date, I have three issues to mention and two to talk about with a little depth, not much. First and foremost, the negotiation on the property, we've had an executive session, everybody should be up to speed. I can't go into detail because, you know, obviously we're looking at one property in particular, but also, you know, speaking with staff, there's other alternative properties available that we're investigating. So that's moving forward. Second, one of the tasks that were assigned to me was to respond to a letter from the Strawberry Hollow HOA regarding one of the wells that the district owns. After reviewing it, doing a little preliminary research, I think the best thing that I'm going to do is go ahead and draft a letter back to them and ask them for some clarifications on their positions. Not sure exactly why they are asserting some of the positions they now have, and it would, you know, before saying yes or no and responding, I'd like to have a little bit more detail so we can bring it back to you as a board and say, well, hey, this is why they're making these statements and taking these positions, and here's where we're response. So I haven't been sleeping on that. It's just a curious demand after, what, 12 years to start seeking payments on something. So we'll follow up with that. The other issue I think was going to be discussed tonight is the moratorium. Provided the information you need there. And I did get a question about septic tanks and the relationships to wells. You know, there's some spacing requirements and there's some grandfather requirements. I'm very familiar with the spacing requirements. Your wells typically have to be, in a general sense, 100 feet away from any septic tank.
Oh, we lost them.
Right, things of that nature. I think there's some grandfathering of wells near septic tanks that are even closer. That is something that I need to look at a little bit because it's just something that doesn't come up a lot. I'll give you some details, but my understanding on that is from hydrologists that do this and people that work on septic tanks is that, you know, these grandfatherings are almost on like case-by-case basis. So I'll do a little bit more research and get the answer back to you. That's it.
Any questions for Steve?
Steve, the septic tanks, does that include leach lines?
Yes.
Can you say that again? I sneezed right up.
Does that include leach lines as well, 100 feet clearance?
A leach line?
Yeah.
My gut react, that would be yes.
Okay. Problem.
Septic system.
Part of the septic system, the leach and the tank.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Right. But I also know, to clarify a little bit, you know, a lot of times where we get into this issue, and I clarify for the public that it's not going to be a, even in cases where you have wells that are closer to septic tanks, you know, what sometimes happens is that they're trying to regulate those cases where you have a person with a small domestic well and a small septic tank for his house, you know, and people will put those together. And if the well's only drilled 75 feet below land surface, you can get some interplay there. And that's why they try to avoid having them close together. If your well is 400, 500, 600 feet deep, you know, the contaminant issue kind of goes away for the most part. I mean, there's exceptions to that. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm speaking very generally, but I just want to make it clear that, you know, even if we are having well issues that are, you know, closer than we want to have septic tanks, they're usually not going to be a water quality problem unless there's something really going wrong with either the septic tank or the well. So there you go.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Okay, Chairman's report. Astera, as we've already heard, has been contacted to proceed with the leak detection identification flyover. In fact, we're looking at the different videos and things that they offered in Scarland, Texas. They did a lot of work down there. and we're very pleased with the outcome. They can go 10 foot in depth, so when they do this flyover, any leaks that are out there, they will detect. Quarterly meeting was held and attended with RAGIT. That's our employee benefit kind of resource. They serve small communities like us, water districts, fire departments, and so forth. And everything is on track. A financial audit was conducted, and we verified that. We always want to stay in good standing with that because of the size of our facility here. It's very difficult to go out and find reasonable rates for health insurance for our employees. So by keeping up with all the RAGIT requirements and being in good standing, so we do everything possible, myself and Morgan attend those meetings. So we're in good shape. Tom has been heavily involved, and I think a lot of you have seen the correspondence, to continue to search for grants and forgivable loans by way of a district letter to our political representatives, both in the state and federal. So certainly encourage everyone to write those folks. And you know, we keep hearing about all this infrastructure money, yet we can't seem to get a hold of any of it. But we continue to, I guess, badger. You know, we will continue to be there and ask for it.
If I might add to that,
yes.
At this time, we have not received any response from our letter to our U.S. senators and governor. We wrote to the governor as well. No response whatsoever. It's been about 3 weeks, I think.
About state representatives.
Say again?
Our senators in the state.
Senators and reps.
U.S. senators.
Yes.
Some of them are dealing out money to various municipalities.
We have Sinema, Kelly. Yeah.
But you're talking about state.
I'm thinking
state.
Rogers.
Wendy Rogers.
Wendy Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was on our list when we had
I know for a fact she gave money to Jerome for water.
Huh?
Their tanks being fixed. I know
so
we're doing
home.
The same thing. I would definitely pursue those avenues to eat our state senate and representatives.
I'll do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any
we encourage
any kind of money.
And we encourage our,
yeah,
our
sure.
Constituents as well, please. If you can help, the more letters they get, why don't we keep getting letters from Pine Strawberry, right? Yeah, that's maybe because it's important, right?
Yeah, election's coming up. Let's get it out real quick.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Squeaky wheel.
Get them out there.
Exactly. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. As far as engineering planning meetings, we hold those typically on Thursdays. Days of board meetings, it's always a long day because we start about 9 o'clock in the morning, so we've been at it. We meet with all of our engineering folks, do site visits and so forth. So continue to do that. We continue to search for a deep well site within the pressure zone. Again, a few sites were visited and information regarding ownership is being collected. So we have gone out and visited another site today. The claim with APS has been reviewed. When we had the last power outage, we lost some of our equipment due to the power surge. And when Karen gets back, she's a former APS employee, she's Paul's assistant, we will see where that stands on recouping some of the monies that it costs us to replace some of that equipment that was damaged. A list of wells has been developed for deepening, confirming current depths, flow, and encroachment. So Jim has done a very good job providing that list and putting it together. From well numbers to the year drilled, septic and leach line distances, any notes on it, and then whether it's active on the ADUQ website. So very good getting that information because we've been seeking that for a while and it's a lot of time. Well, that well isn't working or it's not running. Well, why not? So again, we're exploring all of that and are going to pursue that because that can make up some of our water shortage and particularly the loss. KP Ventures from Camp Verde has visited some of our well sites, has done some videoing of it. We await their findings and recommendations. Actually, we met with them this morning and continue to pursue some of the activities that they're involved in. We are reviewing all of the district's well shares and discussing whether we should entertain the purchasing of them. So again, we pay money each month depending on how much water we use from those wells. And, you know, looking to see whether instead of us paying the money to them, whether we could purchase the well from them. So we continue to pursue that. Again, trying to get more source so we can get off the moratorium. That's what we're looking for. Even with all of our water line replacements, it's only going to cover about 25% of our water lines. So we still have a 75% of water lines to look at and possibly replace. So looking for Astera to assist with that and maybe direct some of the operational monies that we have in the budget to do some repair work. As far as training, the staff continues to study and prepare for water distribution certifications. We have a few employees that are going through that online training so we can get certified. Jim, I said, is pursuing. I printed this and then got with Jim and confirmed we are doing online safety training now with a program offered by ABWR. Mm-hmm. I think that's going well.
Yeah.
So again, it's water related. We used to do a lot of safety training with them. As far as the moratorium update, as Steve covered and he will be covering, we're looking at the term new water service, and rather than stealing Steve's thunder, I'll let him address that in his on new business. So that's all I have. Any questions for me? All right. Well, at this time, we open up general unscheduled comments from the public. So those wishing to address the board may not request permission in advance.
Did we cover your...
All my questions were answered, thank you.
Okay, very good. And, you know, as far as any more details on that Blue Ridge Craigan, we did sign a non-disclosure agreement. We did have a second meeting with SRP,
okay.
And we had signed that we cannot share certain costs, but
it's
substantial. Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what we found was that, you know, that cost is whatever CC Craigan or what they purchased that for, depending on how many acre feet of water, you will pay that portion of the original purchase price. So that's a huge cost also, in addition to the water treatment. So we're not letting it go. We are going to continue to pursue it. I know former boards kind of looked into it and never sure how far they got. We're going to take it as far as we can take it and then ultimately decide whether we can afford it or not.
Can't ask anything more.
But boy, if we can get some of this free money,
yep,
maybe very well able to pursue it.
By the way, copies of our letter also went to Kerry Lake and to Katie Hobbs as well.
Oh, okay.
Just for informational background to them.
Okay.
And Carrie, by the way, has some property up in the portal. She has a home up there.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, maybe a constituent that could be very interested in the water. So, okay. There, you've got another card there. Okay. Is it Rodney?
Rodney, yes.
Yes, okay.
All right, did you guys receive my proposal? I dropped it off here about a month ago for Strawberry Hollow.
I think that's what Steve was referencing. Steve, the Strawberry Hollow HOA proposal.
Can't hear you, Steve.
You're muted.
Muted.
Steve, you're muted.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I apologize. I received the note. I would like to talk to, if this is the gentleman that I should be talking to, that'd be great. Somebody give me his name and number and we'll talk.
Okay.
So.
All right, I have that on his card here, so I will provide that to you.
Essentially, can I just appreciate make a comment on what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys obviously bought the well in our subdivision. You own a tract that the pump house is on, and you also own lot 18, which the actual well is on. We welcome you to be a part of our community. You purchased the property in 2010, and no fees have been paid for the HOA fees since 2010. I think we gave you a very generous offer by offering that you would start paying this month, and another thing I found out just recently when we got our gates all done is that we are apparently attached to your electric in the back, for the back gate only. That was done when Lauren owned the lot, Lauren Peterson, and he had actually installed the gate and attached the electric to it, and apparently did not disclose that to you when you purchased the well. So our proposal was, our homeowner's HOA fees are $718 a month. We are proposing to give you a credit of $30 a month for the electric usage, which is very, I think, very generous. Definitely will cover any cost that we use from the back gate. We also asked a few other things in the proposal, since you are part of our community. The one lot, the tract lot, has all the gravel has been pushed into the clay. And so whenever anyone drives onto that lot, turns around, whatever, you're tracking a lot of clay onto our roads. We just spent very close to $250,000 to redo the roads. We paved them last year and we seal coated them. The paving was $227,000 and the seal coating was $16,000, which none was offered, you know, none was requested from you guys to help pay for that. That the money that you would be spending towards the HOA fees goes towards maintenance of the entire property, that goes for road improvements, that goes for our PDS, who is our management company, that helps pay for the roads being plowed. Since we're a private community with gates, we have to do that. We just spent a little over $25,000 to install the gates. You guys have clickers for those to get in. Part of that proposal was to graciously ask that the guys, they're coming in to service the well, that they enter through the back entrance since it's the closest from your facility. That still is not happening. They're still using the front entrance. We also request that you obey our rules in our community, which means following the speed limit of 15 miles per hour. That's not being, still is not being done. They're speeding through our community, which we do have CCNRs, and I can get you a copy of the CCNRs if you need them. But it is well posted and it is 50 miles per hour through the entire community. And then we ask that that track that everyone turns around and be re-rocked. So that needs to be re-rocked since you guys own that. And that's part of our CCNRs and part of our code of conduct for contractors for our subdivision, that before any work is done on a property, that the road, the driveways or whatever be, have a base put on so that you're not tracking this thick, sticky clay that is very hard to get off the roads. And we just want to protect those roads that we spend so much money to improve. And that's pretty much it.
Very good. Well, as I heard when Steve covered in his report, he'll be following up with us, and certainly could be getting back to you.
Okay, Steve, on that blue card is my personal cell phone, my address. I'm in lot four, on lot 4 and 5, and my email is on there also, so you can reach me that way.
Yep, I'll get him that information after a bit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone on the call, any callers, have any questions? Is that Corey? Call one and caller two?
No.
Sam? Okay.
Comes up as his name.
I would mention that due to the location of the pump on lot 18, which is what you guys own, that could easily be redone, and you could actually sell that lot for a decent amount of money to recoup a fair amount of money. Because you don't, otherwise you're not even really using that. It's a pretty large lot, and that's a possibility for you guys to raise some money. And then that person that would buy that would then be the new, you know, person paying that HOA fee.
Sure.
So we actually own a lot, not
yes.
just a tract.
No, you own a tract, which the pump house is on, which includes all that area, the frontage road, and then about where the, and I've got a map if you want, and you want to look at it, the plot map that shows that you guys purchased, and I've even got on my cell phone if you want to see it, how it's put in the county, that it's lot 18, and it's well marked on the plot map.
What would the acreage be of that lot? Do you suppose, rough number?
Just real quick.
So that's what you want the HOAs to be for that lot?
For lot 18, correct. So there's your pump house. Here's the lot. It is 0.58 acres.
Okay, so half an acre.
Yeah.
Okay. large enough for a home in your development.
But we don't have anything on it.
Well, you've got the pump.
The pump.
Okay. The well, I should say. The pump house. Pump house is situated right here, and this is the well.
Okay.
So it could easily be designed to take a home. That's what it was initially meant for, as a home. And then Lauren drilled the well under Strawberry Water Improvement. We are our own water improvement district. And then decided, because the water improvement district is completely different than HOA. And he runs that himself. And it's supposed to be a nonprofit. But he decided to sell the well. And then I said, we got married to you guys. So,
sure.
All right.
Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, moving on in the agenda, item number 7, discuss and take possible action regarding changing wording in the moratorium for clarification. So Steve, would you like to cover that?
Sure. So we have a resolution in front of you, and it's pretty basic. What we're doing is just clarifying the intent of what was meant with the moratorium, because several issues have popped up as to what type of service does the moratorium apply to, what does it not. And you know, essentially after talking to several board meetings and board members and the intent of board members, looking at your role, it seemed to be that there wasn't an intent to apply the moratorium to people who may have had their water shut off for a couple months because of non-payment, or they left for a few months or came back. But for those people who never have water service, okay, certainly a new service would be applying to them. But also people who have went longer than a year without water service and didn't have an intent to bring it back, or at least manifest or explain some sort of intent to come back as a customer. They just turned off their water service with no explanation or anything. Certainly that would probably a person that is not really considered a customer. So the moratorium applies to, you know, people who would be a new customer. It doesn't matter if necessarily a meter was sitting on the property. If you haven't had water service for 10 years, you're not a customer. So that's essentially what this resolution for clarification captures, and I think it just helps the community understand a little bit better what the moratorium applies to. So with that, I'll take any questions from the board.
I think the resolution is stated very clearly now what a new service is, and clarifying those that have disconnected their service because they didn't want to pay the base fee every month for over 12-month period. Those that have their water shut off for non-payment are automatically restored, and that's cleared up in there. So I think it's I make a motion that the board approve this resolution and sign the document.
Any further
discussion? That's with that one change, right?
What's that?
That's with the one change that the wording.
And which one was that again? The
just properties.
Property. 2.0. Yeah.
That wasn't 2.0 here.
Yes.
Any property. Any property that has not received water service. Yeah. That should say any property.
Okay. We'll make that change.
Yeah, I can make that.
So. With that change, at this point, all in favor?
We got a second.
Oh. Do I have a second for the motion to approve?
Second.
With that change.
With the change.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Very well. Resolution is adopted and approved by this board. With the change. Okay, as far as new business, George, discuss and take possible action regarding capital purchases over $10,000.
I asked Larry to shelve that till next meeting because I didn't have time to get the wording right. So Yeah, I'm on vacation, so I'll put it on next week's agenda.
Next month, you want to, so you want us to table it?
Yes, please table it.
Okay, make a motion to table 8-1 for next month.
Do we have a second to table? All in favor to table?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Item 8-1 will be tabled until next month's meeting. Okay. Item number 9. Any potential agenda items besides the one that was just tabled for the next scheduled board meeting of the directors on October 20th?
God, it's early again.
And again, as we know, Larry has requested that they come in on Friday. I knew he'd be tied up at the Rock and Gem Show, so I didn't get mine until Monday. But yeah, Friday, if we get him into him, he appreciates that, so he can get a head start on getting everything sent over to the county for posting.
It's the 27th.
It's the 27th.
Yes. Fourth Thursday is the 27th.
October 27th. All right. Well, I think we're at the point to adjourn, so do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor to adjourn?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Very good. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.